The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, gifted Bible teacher Beth Moore.
He's not just going to grab us out. He's not just going to lift us out. He's going to pluck us out. And I need somebody to say it. And I want you to say it so good that you spit on that screen. That's what I'm talking about. What is the Lord going to do? He's going to what?
Pluck.
He's going to pluck my feet out of the net.
Getting out of the net next.
I want to welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robison. This is Wednesdays with Beth. I want to pass on a thought before she begins talking to you about how you can be caught in a net and how we can turn even that difficulty for good if we'll see things clearly. I want to pass something on that Billy Graham said, and I'm paraphrasing it, but it was really a life-changing moment for me. Basically, Billy was saying, I want you, James, and I suggest that you spend time with people you've been taught to avoid. In many ways, changed my life. Didn't change my theology or my convictions, my strong commitment to biblical, absolute truth. But it changed the way I think about people and treat them, and it changed the way I see. Right now in our nation, we're being called to consider people and relate to people and get to know people and try to find common ground with people that many of us have not only been taught to avoid, but frankly to despise. Some of the people that we've been taught to despise, I'm spending so much time loving that they're telling me that it has impacted their life beyond imagination and beyond explanation. Has transforming effect. That's the power of love. Well, let's listen to Beth and see if we don't learn some things, and then let's ask God to stretch us all so that we can please Him and learn to love people we may have been taught not only to avoid, but despise.
I'm going to go ahead and ask you if you have a Bible. Turn with me. This is going to be an easy one. Just split it right down the middle to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Keith and I love the privilege of being able to serve with James and Betty. You, I say to people all the time, and I can't tell you how often someone comes up to me and says how much they love them. And I always say, you would love them even more if you knew them face to face. Personally, if you were their next door neighbor or had a vacation with them, they are even more wonderful one-on-one and personally than you can imagine just watching them on the other side of that screen. So you would just want to know the integrity of the people that serve on this side of that screen. And so we love you and we want so much to come with you as servants. So I want to read to you Psalm 25, verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody amen that. Amen. I had to pause there this morning and say, please do not remember my stupidity of old. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord, I want you to see it, even though that's not one of our points in the series lesson. But I do want you to see that he's saying, do not remember my sins, but oh God, remember me. remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right, and he teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. And this is our theme verse. In fact, I'm going to ask you to start memorizing it, because this is one of the things that we want abiding in us. Verse 15, I'm reading it to you out of the ESV. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. I want to read that to you again. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Now, I do love me a plosive, and I love the word pluck. I mean, doesn't that just do it for you? He's not just going to grab us out. He's not just going to lift us out. He's going to pluck us out. Now, I need somebody to say it, and I want you to say it so good that you spit on that screen. That's what I'm talking about. What is the Lord going to do? He's going to what?
Pluck.
He's going to pluck my feet out of the net. Our present series is going to be called Out of the Net. And you and I are going to learn together how we can recognize when we're in one and how we can be out of one. Lord, let it be for good. Now, what I've done is that I've brought a net along because I think it'd be really important if I had the opportunity to have a little visual in front of you at all times. And I'm going to spread it down here because this is what we'll see would be like the kind of net that would be hidden under feet where no one could see it coming. Now, I want you, I'm just going to lay it here where it's out before you, and we're going to talk about it throughout this series, this whole concept of the net. Now, let me tell you, when God gives me a concept, normally what I'll do, especially if it's a word, and very often I'll pray for God to give me a word, and one thing that gets me a little bit tickled is when he really does give me a word, a word. And I start to think, you know what, I need to ask that he would give me 10 words. 50 words, but like this series, it was the word net. I mean, nothing before it, nothing after it. It was just net. So what I'll do at that point, I'll go to my Bible software, or I can get online, and I can run through a complete concordance of every single time that word appears in Scripture, Old Testament, New, and I read every single one of those. And so I did all of that, and then one of the next things that I'll do when I'm further into my study is I'm going to Google it. Because I want to see what does the world say. I'm seeing what the Word of God says. Now, what does the world say about a net? Well, you ought to try to get the internet to understand that you don't mean .net. You mean a real net. I mean, we had millions and millions and millions of responses, and I can't tell you how long it took me to just get to a can of Aquanet. I mean, something. I mean, is there really? I mean, is there no other net here? But you know what I found to be so intriguing? You know, we have come to know this thing that has really overtaken our lives, and I'm not going to dog it because some of you are watching this from your laptop. And so we're not going to dog the internet. There are too many wonderful things that take place on it. But when I began to see that it just kept coming up over and over again, I thought, I can't get it past this kind of net. I thought it was interesting to realize that actually it does mean net. The reason why it's called internet is because it's a network interfacing all sorts of computer networks. It's this global system of interconnection. And if we were to look at it, I'm going to show you a picture of it off of just off of the internet itself in just a moment. But I want to suggest to you that in many ways it looks just like this, because the reason why I am able to write my dear friend in Los Angeles all the way from Houston, Texas, and she get it almost as soon as I push send is because we are linked up. We have connected threads that put us in immediate attachment. Does that make sense to anybody? I have a friend who lives in Indonesia. I can literally get on, write an email, have it to her instantly. Why? Because we are interconnected on this thing called the net. And I found it so interesting that while I was studying it on the web itself, there over and over again, I saw how they would talk about an addiction to the internet. I think many of us understand that. And I realized, well, as it stands, it just so happens that, even biblically speaking, the net could be a net. Anything that gets us trapped and hooked into it is indeed a net. So here's what I want you to see in the Word of God. We're going to be talking about it over this series and even a little bit in the next. We're going to make a connection, a net between them, if you would. And I want you to think biblically how that particular context looks in the Old Testament as compared to the New. We're going to study in our present series out of the Old Testament primarily. We'll look at a few things that are in the New, but we're going to look at this concept first from the Old. And what you might find interesting is that when I ran it through the concordance and I looked at every single occasion of it, almost overwhelmingly, there were very, very few exceptions to this. Maybe three or four in the entire ESV Old Testament scriptures, only one exception in the NIV. Always a net in the Old Testament, except for those couple of exceptions, it's always in a negative context. So a net is always something bad. Whereas we're going to see something different in the New, and I hope that you'll enjoy that little twist when we get into our next series and see how they kind of come together. But we looked and we're looking at Psalm 25, verse 15. This is our theme verse that says, and I want to read it to you again, "My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He will," what's that word? "He will pluck my feet out of the net." I want you to see, I just think you'd find this so intriguing. This is a picture of the internet. Can you see it clearly enough? Let me just show it around to you like this. Can you see truly what a net it is? It doesn't look altogether different than what I am standing on right in front of you. And I'm not picking on it. I just want you to understand that we got a world full of nets, and we're going to see together through this series if we happen to have our pair of feet standing in one presently. So we're going to make four points together in our series called Out of the Net, and we're going to see, it defined, we're going to see it pictured in its context, and then we're going to see if we're standing in one, and then we're going to ask God to deliver us. Anybody? You know, because I'm not for just picking on problems. I'm for prescriptions. I believe that when the Word of God sheds light on an area of need in our lives or an area of bondage in our lives, that there's always, always the prescription in the Word of God, what we can do with it. We're never hopeless in it. So whatever it is, I want you to just set aside any guilt and anxiety you have over it. I'm asking you not to turn that off right now because you know it's going to get in your business, because you may know you're in a net. I'm asking you, stay around and let's find out what our solutions are. And here's what we're going to see. First of all, I'm making a series of four points with you. And number one is this: a net is something you don't see coming. A net is something you don't see coming. That's where this would begin. The whole concept of net in the Old Testament would be something hidden from plain sight. I'll just pitch out Proverbs 1:17 to you that refers to that hidden factor of a net by saying this, and I'm quoting, "How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds." In other words, you don't spread a net out there in full view. If the enemy is going to have a net for you, and if he's going to have a net for me, it's going to be camouflage. It's going to be hidden in some way. We're not going to see it coming. Because a net is just not something we very often see coming. So we got to understand that to begin with because, I mean, if we saw it, we would walk around it. For some of us, I totally get it if you're in the situation where you would say to me today, "Never in my wildest dreams would I have imagined myself in this situation." Well, that's why it's a net. I don't know about you, but I've gotten myself with my eyes wide open in some really, really bad situations. But I've also just like wandered in to a net. And the whole idea of it, biblically speaking, except for one occasion, and I believe that it was in the book of Hosea, for the most part in the Old Testament, a net was something you walked upon accidentally, and it would close up around you. In Hosea, it actually drops down from the top and captures you that way. But think, for the sake of our series together, of something just being under our feet, something we don't see coming. Now, if you know anything about James and Betty and Keith and I and what we have in common, we love the Lord Jesus. We love His Word. We love to serve people. And now, I don't put this in any way up into that list, but we dearly love us some canines. dearly love us some dogs. And Keith and I had a pair of dogs. We always have dogs. We have darling dogs right now that are 3 years old, and I always have plenty of stories about our present puppies. But Keith and I, for many, many years, had a pair of dogs by the name of Beanie and Sunny. I've talked about them on Wednesdays many, many times through the years, and they died within 3 weeks of one another and nearly broke our hearts. I mean, it nearly killed us. But because we're just like obsessed with them. Well, I don't know when you raise your children, if you're really nurturing, then you just kind of like point that all onto a puppy, and it's a dangerous way to live. Because, I mean, you're like, your heart's all invested in something that chases cars. It's not good. It's not good. It's very, very risky. It's not good. It's not good. But Sunny and Beanie were a strange pair, because Sunny was already, she was a stray that we took in, a wonderful mongrel, love, my best friend, my little shadow. But she was already nearly 10 when Beanie came along. So she was sort of over it. But, you know, Beanie was full-on puppy, and Beanie was a bird dog and was constantly on point about something. And so if she would run out of things in our yard to point, and I'm telling you the whole truth here, she would decide she was going to point Sunny. And Sunny would just be minding her own business, just laying by the shrubs with her belly on the cool ground, and she'd be staring at Beanie like this, and Beanie would get in full point, that right paw up, and then she would just shake like this. And I mean, for the next, I am not kidding, I mean, I'm talking the patience of Job, that dog had, because she would just take one step and then she'd freeze there and she'd be there. But the thing that just killed Keith and I, we called it the sneak. She was constantly doing the sneak. The thing that just killed us was that Sunny was just looking at her like, I'm on to you. I see you. And once we get some word going, once we've been had enough and God has brought us out, once we've been in that net and we've learned a little about the way the enemy works and sort of what comes right before we're about to get captivated by something that we're going to end up hating, you know, that whole love-hate relationship you have with anything that overtakes you like an addiction. Once we begin to see a little bit about how he works, we can be on to him. We can so often be able to look into a situation and go, I see you. I see you. And you want to be able to recognize that. When he is heading your direction, shaking, and I mean, he's on point, and that point is you. That point is you. And for us to be able to go, I see you coming. I'm so on to you.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
I want to reemphasize something that says the open. The enemy wants you to despise others. Not just avoid them, despise them. But yet Jesus said, love God, love your neighbor. Paul said, if you love your neighbor, herein is all the law fulfilled in the word. Who's your neighbor? Could be the person you've been taught to despise. That's why Jesus said, anybody can love their friends. But I give you a new commandment. I want you to love your enemies. That means we're going to love people we disagree with sometimes, and it doesn't mean that we're going to embrace what we disagree with. It means we're going to love that person. And we're going to try to find ways to do things together to make a difference. People from all different backgrounds help us save lives in mission feeding and drill water wells. When you try to save a life, you don't ask, what's your background? You say, let's do this together. here's something we must do together. Our precious little ones are going to die. They don't have to. We hold the answer. You're the answer.
It's desperate in South Sudan right now, and the Republic of South Sudan is trying to rebuild. They're trying to start over because now they're a country on their own, but they can't do that if they don't have food.
Boy, I know you're going to want to put something in those bowls other than the meager leaves that someone went out and tried to get, or the little nuts or whatever they could find to try to survive. Many of these children in Sudan, which we're asking you to help us add another 20,000, where they were dying two a day just trying to get to the food that we'd just set up temporarily with the hope of leaving a permanent feeding center. We can totally change everything with those children. As I was watching, one of the missionaries feeding was Steve Kotsia from South Africa, who came to work for life as a mission outreach director. He's been all over the world. He played in 5 British Opens. He was a contractor and a professional golfer. He left everything to give his heart to missions, and there he is feeding. We've seen him in so many places expressing the love of God. But what he was giving in that instance was provided by you, someone just like you. You may say, well, it wasn't me. Well, it can be you. It should be you. Here's what I want you to know. We have over 400,000 right now in different areas where we've been feeding them now for some time, and we've depleted the resources because we raise the funds twice a year. Now, those resources have been used to keep those centers going. We've got to have your help now. To add the 20,000 where you just saw some there, basically expressing the need, we're going to have some incredible help. Some of you have helped before, maybe even in this emphasis, or you help us regularly. We need some big help right now. Some of you to give $100, we can feed 10 children for the next months. Think about that. Several months, 10 children, $100. $30, 3 children, 55. If you would help us with a $1,000 gift, then we can feed 100 children. Now, I want you to think about it. We got 20,000 more children. Sometimes I say these numbers and I think, God, could somebody who's really been blessed help us take care of thousands of young people and their families, children? Whatever you can do, we're asking you to dial the number, take your bank card, use it like a check. You can go online to lifetoday.org and make your gift. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us. Tell us what you're putting in the mail. It's imperative that we know so we can tell the missionaries, yes, we're going to have the resources. You can keep those feeding centers open. You can open others in the areas that you found, especially the tremendous need for the 20,000 in the South Sudan. Would you please make that gift now? We have some gifts for you, a special gift, the Jesus Storybook Bible, actually good for adults. It's so simple. I think a lot of adults might not know some of the stories in this. The Side-by-Side Bible, New International Version. Beth Moore teaches from that on Wednesdays with Beth. Robert Morris, our pastor at Gateway, the New King James Version, many use that. This is great for your study. The Lion and the Lamb Bronze for those of you who will make a $1,000 gift. Whatever you can do. Father, I pray every single person watching will go to the phone or go online and make the gift you put on their heart. In Jesus' name, please do it now. Thank you.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference and help save a life. In addition to the 400,000 children already in Life's Mission Feeding Program, our teams have found a region in South Sudan with another 20,000 children in need of immediate life-saving assistance. Our mission teams are in place, but we desperately need your help to replenish critically needed food supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll rush you the Jesus Storybook Bible. This beautifully illustrated book will help your children discover for themselves that Jesus is at the center of God's great story of salvation, and at the center of their lives, too. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request our new international version and new King James side-by-side Bible with a two-column format for easy comparison. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online right now.
In behalf of all those whose lives you will save and those you'll make whole, I express thanks. On behalf of the missionaries, thank you. I hope you enjoyed Beth Moore. That's water. That's food for the hungry. That's for you. Just like the food for those precious ones who are suffering in Africa. We love you. Thank you for helping us share God's love with those children in need and their families, but also with people like you who need truth, like Beth presents, like we and our guests do day after day. God bless you. Thanks for watching. It's so quiet here, and I feel so cold. This house no longer feels like home.
Tomorrow, the rebirth of freedom and virtue with authors John Andrews and Kevin Miller.
The secular theocracy that rules us now thinks there's sin, and usually it's environmental sin.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.